It's time to get real with Mike Murphy. Take off the blinders and wake up to what is going on in the world. Mike is sharing unfiltered truth so you, the listener, can make your own decisions and cut through the noise of what mainstream media is saying. Mike is bringing you real news, real problems, real solutions, and real hope. Question everything. Open your mind, own your power, and get real now with Mike Murphy.
Welcome, everyone, to Get Real, and I'm your host, Mike Murphy, and we're running a few minutes late today. I'm sure most of you heard of the concept of Murphy's Law. Well, today I got everything ready to go. I'm sitting here waiting for the producer, Quartertel, to get on the air, start 503 with you guys, and lo and behold, I had the wrong link. So we're running a few minutes late, but that's the beauty of live radio. So welcome, everybody. This is our third week with our new radio show. This is episode number 7. We're here every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 5 p.m. Pacific, live, and we go for an hour till 6, and it's exciting. Last week was a really exciting week for me, a really exciting show. If you want to know who I am and why I'm doing this and what it's all about, in the first episode you'll see on we broadcast on Transformation Talk Radio and also on my YouTube channel, Mike Murphy Unfiltered. So you just go to the first episode. I spent a lot of time telling you who I am and why I'm doing this and what it's all about. But it's really about finding the truth, sharing it with one another, and then hopefully finding some practical solutions that we can do okay in these troubling times that we're having right now. And believe me, it's getting crazier and crazier every single day. I feel like I live in different realities. Last week I was in northern Idaho, Lake Coeur d'Alene, staying with some wonderful friends in their beautiful home right on the lake. And I get up every morning, do the show, and we had the pre-recorder because I was in a golf tournament. Get up, hop on a boat, beautiful boat ride on Lake Coeur d'Alene, play beautiful golf courses with my buddies. Everything was perfect. Perfect weather, perfect friends, perfect dinners. My wife was there. Everything was beautiful and perfect until Friday we get back to the Spokane airport to fly back to Palm Springs, and reality sets back in. Everybody's got their mask on, and everybody, you know, to me, that just spreads the fear of this pandemic or plandemic, whatever you want to call it. So it was really nice in Idaho because very seldom do I have to wear a mask, and it seemed like a normal life, seemed how life used to be. But life isn't what it used to be, ladies and gentlemen, and we got to find some solutions because this is here to stay. This is our new normal, I'm afraid to say. And then last night, I got to watch, there's a new show, Joy Reid, I think is her name, and she's on MSNBC, and she has a new show. So I wanted to watch it because she had Joe Biden on and Hillary Clinton, and it was a brand new show, so I wanted to see it. And wow, what a different world that is, that those people that watch that broadcast and that programming, they believe in, you know, I get it. And then, of course, preparing for the show, I'm all over the internet, all over YouTube, Googling sites that I know are pretty trustworthy to get you the real news. So it's a crazy world. We live in different realities. And if you watch MSNBC or CNN, I can see why you hate Trump so much. I mean, golly, she must have gone on for 15 minutes. What a terrible, rotten human being this guy is and how he's ruined this country. Now, of course, he's only been a politician for 3.5 years. Well, everybody else, Biden included, has been there 40 years, Hillary 40 years. But they're not the problem. It's Donald Trump. I don't know how that is. And I'm not a Trump fan, by the way. So, but I am a fan of truth, and I'm a fan of justice, and I'm a fan of doing the right thing. So I got to tell you, I think this election is very, very important. Of course, the presidential election is where everybody's focused. And in my mind, it's Trump wins 80 to 20 based on everybody I know, everything I see, everything I read. But then I watched that stuff last night, and I go, whoa, wait a minute. And then I realized over the weekend that Las Vegas has the odds of Joe Biden becoming the next president minus $170 to win 100. He's a big favorite to win. So I think no matter what happens in November, we're going to have our hands full and we need to prepare. We're going to talk a little bit more about that later. I want to touch a little bit about these masks, because, you know, we've been in a mask battle, the pro mask wearers versus the not pro mask wearers, if you will. It's been quite a battle, and I think the victor has emerged. So I'm going to ask our wonderful producer up there in Seattle, Olivia, to play this video of this people at having lunch at the doggy park, if you would, Olivia.
What are you doing? You cannot be serious. You just maced him. You just maced him. You just maced him and their food because you disagreed. Don't worry, I'm videotaping. Don't worry. I'm not going to.
That's not okay.
This is not for.
That is not okay.
Not okay.
You can't treat people like that.
What's wrong with you, lady?
That is wrong. You can't go around doing
it. It's okay, guys. This is her car.
You maced somebody.
Don't worry, I got it. You weren't defending yourself, lady, and I've got this.
Did she hurt her?
I didn't do anything.
So here's the story that I found in Citizen Free Press. The title is Karen Strikes Again. I would hate to have the name Karen in today's world, but San Diego woman maces couple for not wearing mask. So this happened today at Dusty Roads Dog Park today in Ocean Beach, California. This is my husband getting maced by a random old lady. We had our three-month-old pug with us, and we were just sitting down eating lunch and minding our own business. We were not wearing masks because we were eating. You can't wear a mask and eat at the same time. She kept calling us idiots and flipping me off. Then she started saying more stuff, and I told her to leave the park and stop harassing us. She then came right up to our table where we were eating, pointed the mace at me first and got a little on me. And then my husband stepped in and took the entire can of mace. I've been maced before, folks. It's not fun. Thank God for the bystander that took this video, because we're going to the police now to press charges. I don't know how this is going to end up, but obviously the older woman is wrong. But obviously she's scared to death. And I get it. If you watch MSNBC and CNN and you believe all that stuff, I'd be scared too. Our next story is pretty interesting. This is a young man that got a ticket for wearing his mask wrong. And this was in, this comes to us from Local 10 in Florida, Miami-Dade County. And the guy calls it was a mask trap, he says. Man says about 110 coronavirus citation in Miami-Dade. $110 ticket. North Miami Beach, Florida. Dean Gonzalez was wearing his face mask when he went to the supermarket in North Miami Beach, but he received a $110 citation anyway. He said there were police officers who were not wearing the uniforms waiting for people outside. Gonzalez recorded a video of his interaction with police officers. Remember, these governments are going broker and broker and broker. They didn't get to write all those speeding tickets while we were at home. They need money. So it was a trap, Gonzalez says. It was a mask trap. Gonzalez said that he was talking to police officers. The face mask he was wearing moved down a little bit and exposed his nose. That was enough for the officer to threaten Gonzalez with arrest. You have to wear it properly, the officer said. If you're not wearing it properly, it's like you're not wearing it at all. Obviously, Gonzalez was furious. So one more mask story here. And this has to do with Florida again, which I believe is a Republican governor, but they're having all kinds of COVID-19 positive test results, whatever that means. So the article I have here says the new lawsuit says Broward County's emergency order violates constitutional rights. So they pass an order, okay, that says that you have to wear your mask at home. The man who staged a protest against beach closures on July 4th and who was taken into custody last week at a Broward County news conference is back with a new complaint against the county's latest emergency order, which he says is unconstitutional. Chris Nelson, the Fort Lauderdale resident behind the group Reopen South Florida, said he intends to file a lawsuit against the county's order this week. The complaint refers to Section 4A of the order, which says that residents of single or multifamily homes must enforce mask mandates on their property, including when they have guests over. So I can, if I'm in South Florida, I invite you over to my house. It's my job to make sure you wear a mask. If you don't, then the neighbors can call the police, or even maybe one of my guests can call the police. The police can come now and into my property, which is violation of, I think it's Amendment 4, illegal search and seizure, and come in, find me, arrest me, and what have you. So I just think this mask thing, you'll see where I'm going with this in a minute. So if you would, Olivia, the next one is Dr. Fauci, and there should be a photo of him not wearing his mask. Now, he threw out the first pitch at the Washington Nationals, the baseball team in Washington, D.C., and he got to throw out the first pitch. And he barely got it halfway there, and he threw it almost to first base rather than to home base. So he's not an athlete in any stretch of the imagination. If you want to have a good laugh, you can Google Dr. Fauci throwing out the first pitch. But then they catch a picture of him in the stands with his mask down below his chin, sitting next to his wife who's not wearing a mask, which I guess is okay, and then a buddy of his. So he's not social distancing. He's not wearing his mask. And, of course, you know, the alternative media had a field day with that. I will only say in his defense, you know, he says, you know, listen, I was dehydrated. I wanted to drink some water. So I took the mask down. So, but the optics aren't too good. So anyways, why I bring all this up is that, you know, I used to be one of these guys that, you know, I was anti-wearing mask and I was a little belligerent when I had to go to a store and I would just leave. You know, I remember once I was going to buy like $1,000 worth of golf clubs and had to have a mask. I said, forget it. I'll go to another store where you don't have to wear a mask. But, you know, I'm at the point now is, man, we've lost this mask battle. I mean, everybody is passively going along with this. And all my research says it doesn't help one bit, okay? And it's funny, when the beginning of this, Fauci, all those people said you didn't need masks. So I think this is one of those things that the, you know, that they decided that they could divide us further on. And I think the mask wearers have won this battle. And so that's okay, we'll give them that one. It's not worth fighting with what I've realized. I mean, I wanna travel, I wanna fly, I gotta wear a mask. And that's just, or you're not going. And, you know, if I want to go in and buy a store, I went to Staples yesterday, I want to buy something, I had to wear a mask. So I'm not going to fight that mask thing anymore. I'm definitely not going to wear it in my house. I definitely don't wear it when I'm driving around by myself or jogging or playing golf or what have you. But, you know, you have to abide by what's going on in the world today. So good for them. They won the mask battle. There's a bigger battle coming up, and that's what I want to talk about right now. And that's the vaccination. That's where this is all headed. And so I'm going to talk a little bit. There's an article from CBS News, and Bill Gates was just interviewed by Norm Macdonald. And he says that multiple COVID-19 vaccine doses may be necessary. Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates said Wednesday that people could need multiple doses of a potential coronavirus vaccine to immunize themselves from the coronavirus. If necessary, the multiple doses could require more than 7 billion vaccinations to be administered worldwide. So that's what they're ramping up with, and that's what I'm gearing up with. So we're going to put in the a link to this interview. It was about a 25-minute interview that Bill Gates did with Norm Macdonald. And I'm just going to give you my takeaway from it. So you can watch the whole thing. We'll give you the link if you want to watch the whole 25 minutes, or I'll just give you what I heard and what I saw. And I think that Bill Gates did this interview. I didn't know it at the time, but he mentions it, that, you know, they've kind of silenced Dr. Fauci a little bit, and they've silenced the CDC. I remember, I think it was last week or the week before, initially the Trump administration wanted to bypass the CDC and have the hospitals and the other testing sites to report directly to the Human Health Department of the United States government and bypass the CDC, which, by the way, is a nonprofit, tightly aligned with Fauci, tightly aligned with the WHO, the World Health Organization, tightly aligned with Bill Gates. So I think Fauci has been muzzled a little bit. So therefore, Bill Gates, being Bill Gates, you know, the creator of Microsoft and billionaire and a big advocate of vaccines with his nonprofit foundation and Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and a big proponent of vaccines, and stands to make billions of dollars from this vaccine and being part of it. And I mentioned this before, I'm going to mention it again, but the Colbert Report, James Colbert, he did a great documentary on Bill Gates, who he is, who his parents were, what his agenda really is. And it comes down to their eugenics, is the depopulation kind of play, along with making billions and billions of dollars. So in this interview, so that's one thing I learned, that Fauci's a little bit on his way out. The Gates Foundation, they've donated $350 million to help find a vaccine for coronavirus. He thinks we're at a tipping point right now, and he talks about how the young are being infected right now. Now, keep in mind, all the research and all the information I have shows that most of these tests are flawed. They come back so many false positives. I've heard as much as 50%. We did a story last week where Florida, that, you know, every test was positive. And then we referenced the Professional Golfers Association has done 6,000 tests, and 21 people have tested positive out of 6,000. So I really believe we're getting false data on the testing results. I really, really believe, and this is all documented if you dig deep and you do your research, which I've done, we're being lied to on a number of deaths. These hospitals are being paid to list COVID-19 as a death, as part of the death, even though you could have been killed in a car accident. But if you're tested positive for COVID-19, they put it as a COVID-19 death. This has all been documented very well throughout the whole world, by the way. So, and he talks about tests were made and how, you know, in the beginning we said masks weren't important, and then we were late to wear them eventually. We opened the bars and all that too quickly. He really just puts all the blame, you know, because some of the blame is on Fauci and these other guys early in the game, even him. But at the end of the day, all the blame is now on the Trump campaign and all of us people that don't wear masks. We are the problem with COVID-19 test results exploding, yet deaths, he admits it here, deaths are way down. But that doesn't mean there's not going to be another surge, because what he said is all these young people are getting it. Well, they're going to give it to the old people, and we're going to have another surge, another stay-at-home-in-place kind of order. Then he talks about going back to school. You know, there's 60 million kids that aren't going to be going to school in the fall. And he says, really, 13 and under, this disease hasn't affected hardly anybody, if anybody. But he's talking about getting back to normal in the fall of 2021. So, you know, I've raised my four kids, but I have six grandkids, four going to regular school from middle school to high school. And they're not going this year, and at least in the fall, and I don't think they'll be going in the spring. And he brought up something very interesting to me, and this, we're going to get into this a little bit later, the wealthy schools versus poor kids, you know, and so how the wealthy kids and the wealthy parents, you know, they can do all this internet schooling, and they can afford to homeschool if need be, and they can do it, but inner city kids, poor kids, they're at a huge disadvantage, and they're already at a huge disadvantage. And it's only going to get wider and wider and wider. And we're going to talk about BLM and the injustice there in a second. So, and then she goes, you know, Trump went on and said that, you know, the U.S. has the lowest mortality rate in the world. And he goes, that's BS, blah, 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 and how Trump is a liar and so on and so forth. And but I will say, and he's mentioned it too, Trump is now advocating wearing a mask. I mean, so... like I said, we lost that battle. So then he gets into the vaccines, and this is especially, and he goes, oh, we don't know if they work, but the U.S. government funds Big Pharma. And so I think they've given $2 billion to Pfizer or Moderna, I can't remember which, but they've given a lot of money to these Big Pharma companies to fund them to create this vaccine. And but we don't know if it's going to work. But he says we're getting better advanced therapies. You know, he didn't mention what they were to cure people. And he mentioned that he's in touch with Fauci almost every day. But he says by the first half of 2021, we will have a vaccine. Then he goes on to talk about Operation Warp Speed, which Trump has talked a lot about, which is Trump has already, I think, ordered 150 million syringes to vaccinate us Americans. And then he talks about some of the companies, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, they're already next week, they're starting phase three trials. That's when they're going to give these vaccinations to real people. And so there's four vaccines that are available right now, four companies. I just mentioned three of them. And each one's going to give this vaccination to 30,000 real people. Okay. And so the Nora O'Donnell says, well, you know, I hear that there's a lot of side effects. And he goes, especially after two doses, tons of side effects. 80% have severe side effects. He says, well, they're not permanent. It's not like they're dying or can't walk or they've become autistic and they lost their mind. No, they're just in a lot of pain. And that's 80% of the people. So I can promise you one thing, you know, I doubt if I'll ever take this vaccination. I don't believe in vaccinations. I don't take the flu vaccination. And then when I was a child, I think we had four. And I, even when my kids were growing up, there weren't a lot of vaccinations. And I encourage my my children not to vaccinate their children because there's so much damage from vaccinations. And we'll get into that in another show. But he's talking about we're going to need the 7 million vaccinations globally. And so he talks about how the U.S. government is giving the money to these big pharma corporations to create this vaccine. And then these big pharma corporations are going to sell it for a profit. So they take our tax dollars. They're going to sell it for a profit. But since the government believes that, you know, we shouldn't have to pay for anything COVID-19 related, then the taxpayers are going to have to pay for the vaccinations again. So we already paid big pharma to create them, not knowing if they'll work. And I doubt seriously if they are going to work. And then they're going to sell them for a profit. And then the taxpayers are going to pay for that again. That doesn't make much sense to me. And then she goes, oh, I love this part. She asks him about all these posts on Facebook and social media, how much he is hated, primarily is what she was saying. But of course, she says it's been debunked. Well, even in this CBS article and underneath this video, I think this morning there were 1,600 comments, all negative, about Bill Gates. And anytime you see an article on Bill Gates on social media and you read the comments, this man is not well-liked. I don't know how he got in this position. He's a software developer that dropped out of college, made a lot of money in Microsoft. There's no denying that. But now he's in this vaccination business, and he's hated in many, many other countries, especially in Africa, where they've gone down and vaccinated people with horrendous results, horrendous. So the U.S. government and the Gates Foundation is in charge of this effort. It's not going too well right now. They hope by first quarter next year have a vaccination. They're testing people right now. I heard Jesse Waters on Waters World the other day saying that, you know, they're hoping to have it for the election. But here's where it got really interested. You know, she says, you know, it's been debunked, Bill, but, you know, you know, all this stuff about you on social media, that you're creating a vaccination that's going to microchip people. You're going to put chips in them. Well, he didn't touch this at all. He kind of danced around it. But the truth is, Microsoft and Bill Gates has already filed a patent. The last six digits are 060606, ironically the mark of the beast. And it's not a microchip, but it's more like bots that go into your bloodstream. And in the patent that they filed, they talk about rewarding us with good behavior with cryptocurrency. So obviously, if they can put cryptocurrency into us, okay, then they can take it away from us as well, okay? So if you really study what that patent is all about with Microsoft and Bill Gates, and then you watch him dance around this interview, it's very, very disingenuous, folks, and totally totally BS if you ask me. But that's the way the game is played. That's the way the game is played in mainstream media. That's the way it's played in politics. And it's just the whole interview depressed me and made me feel really down that that's what these guys are doing to us. So there you have it. So let's move on now to another big problem in this country. You know, COVID-19 is huge. This vaccination, you know, that's the next battle. You know, we're wearing masks. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about that. But the vaccination is going to be another line in the sand. And the way I see it, you know, anybody that's gladly wearing a mask today and really believes that they're safe and hasn't done any research, and anybody that watches MSNBC or even Fox now is, you know, anybody, I think anybody that watches mainstream media and is bought into this COVID-19 and is fearful, you know, and believes that this is more than the flu virus, more than a cold virus, they're going to get the vaccination. And I don't think it's going to be pretty, but we'll see. All right. So let's talk about this article from Nadler with the government. Nadler calls Antifa violence a myth and stunning example of DC disconnect. In a perfect example of a disconnect between the ivory tower, Democrats, and reality, Representative Jerry Nadler, Democrat from New York, gave a shocking answer when writer-producer Austin Fletcher asked him if he would disavow Antifa violence in cities like Portland. After a brief pause, Nadler said it was a myth that's being spread only in Washington, D.C. To which Fletcher replies, "Sir, there's video everywhere online. There's fires and riots, and they're throwing fireworks at federal officers. DHS is there. Look online." So, Olivia, if you'd be kind enough to show this this video of this gentleman in L.A., I'd appreciate it. So I don't know if the audience is hearing any sound. I'm watching it here. And you can just see it's a street fight with Los Angeles police and protesters. And these are real thugs. These are real people doing real damage. And Olivia, is the audio off?
Yeah, you know what? If I pull it up on YouTube, we should be able to hear it. Would you like me to play it again?
No, that's okay. The point is there. I think you guys saw it. That, man, we're at war in these cities. And it's you know, it's not just Portland. It's just not Seattle. And it was Oakland. And then they had another protest last night. I don't think much damage was done. But that's Los Angeles. And Chicago's a mess. New York City's a mess. So here's an article from Zero Hedge. Okay, that America's major cities are being turned into war zones. And it's not going to end in November. See, a lot of people think, okay, after this election, everything's going to go back to normal. No, I don't think so. I think these people are playing for keeps, ladies and gentlemen. This is more about overthrowing this government, overturning this country into a Marxist type of government, is my opinion. So I want to read a little bit from this article. It was authored by Michael Snyder. "The civil unrest that we witnessed all across America this weekend," he wrote this today, "was extremely alarming. For a few weeks, it seemed like the chaos that erupted in the immediate aftermath of the tragic death of George Floyd was subsiding. But in recent days, there has been a dramatic resurgence. Within the last 48 hours, there have been eruptions of violence in major cities such as Seattle, Portland, Atlanta, Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, Oakland, Louisville, Austin, and Richmond. At this point, we have seen sustained protests and rioting for nearly 2 months straight, and it looks like the chaos isn't going to disappear anytime soon. Over the past few weeks, a few people have written me emails suggesting that the civil unrest will disappear if Joe Biden wins the election in November. But I don't believe that this is true. Virtually all of the rioting is happening in Democratic cities that are controlled by the Democrats." And the leftist politicians that run those cities do not have any control over the Marxist protesters at all. That's scary, folks. For example, just look at what has been happening in Seattle and Portland. The politicians that run these cities are radical Democrats, and yet those radical Democrats have been completely and utterly unable to end the violence. The following comes from the Daily Mail. The streets of Seattle turned violent Saturday when protesters set fire to a youth detention center and a police precinct. Other protesters threw rocks, bottles, fireworks, and other explosives at cops, with the unrest leading local authorities to declare protests had turned into riots that afternoon. Riots. Portland geared up for its 59th night of unrest Saturday, and swaths of demonstrators marching from the federal building to the Portland Marriott, where they believe federal officers are staying in the wake of a violent Friday night that ended with at least one person being stabbed. To me, it is absolutely amazing that Portland has had 59 days of protests in a row. One man that actually lives in downtown Portland says that his neighborhood has essentially been turned into a war zone. Gabriel Johnson has lived in the Essex House apartments in downtown Portland for 7 years. He has loved it until now. I compare it to a war zone, and some people will take that and say he must be exaggerating, but no, said Johnson. I compare it to a war zone, and I was in the military, and I was in Iraq. The tear gas is terrible. And Johnson certainly knows what a war zone is like because he's actually a military veteran. Elsewhere, two very heavily armed militia groups nearly came face-to-face in Louisville, Kentucky this weekend. More than 300 members of the Atlanta-based, I've never heard of this, Black Militia, NFAC, or not blank blank around coalition, came to Louisville demanding justice for 26-year-old Breonna Taylor, an ER technician who was fatally shot by officers in March. The group came close to 50 far-right, three militia members who were also heavily armed. So they almost started shooting it out right there in Kentucky. So this goes on, this article goes on and on and on. We'll provide a link for you guys. But this is serious. And I have to tell you, I've never owned a gun. I just bought two guns. Bought my first one after my business was looted in Oakland a couple months ago and ordered another one. So I'm buying one every 30 days. Honestly, I don't know if it's a good idea or a bad idea, but I think we have to do this, ladies and gentlemen, because it's becoming out of control. And if they come for my family members, you know, we need to protect ourselves. I hate to say that. I'm not an advocate of violence. I've never owned a gun before. I've maybe shot one when I was a, you know, younger person. I haven't shot one. I got to learn how to shoot it and do all that stuff. But I can tell you this, gun sales are going crazy right now. I had dinner when I was in Idaho with a gentleman involved in making bullets. He said business is just like booming. But the problem is they can't hire enough people because everybody's getting paid more money on unemployment to stay home than to go to work. And we'll get to that in a minute. So there's another article here. And the reason I want to share this with you is this is written by the Associated Press. And the Associated Press, you know, they lean very far left. And now they're saying, listen, this is out of control. So we'll give the link for this article for you. But this is a big deal. And when the Associated Press starts reporting on this, and I don't see a lot of coverage on regular mainstream media or local news. And the other thing you don't see a lot of coverage for is, how about all the suicides? I hear it's up over 1,000%. And I heard that 30 days ago. It could be greater now. How about all the alcoholism and drug addiction? How about all the domestic abuse? And none of this is getting reported. We don't get regular news anymore because it's all COVID-19 related. But man, my father's 84, 85 years old. You know, he lives alone. His whole life has been turned upside down. But there's millions of us like that. And the other shoe to drop is going to be the economy, which we'll get to in a moment. So I want to share this last story about, and this is a sad one. You know, we'll give you the link, but this is another story from Citizen Free Press. And This is Antifa shot and killed by a motorist in Austin. This was a young man, and he was interviewed just a few hours before he was shot and killed. And he had a, I think it was an AK-47 around his chest. And they were interviewing him, you know, why are you carrying? And this is in Texas, by the way. And Austin, which is, you know, probably leans more liberal, but Texas is a, you know, open carry state. And, you know, anyways, long story short, I'll read the story. Austin police confirmed man shot and killed by motorist was carrying a rifle. Like I said, I think it was an AK-47. The shooting happened around 9:50 p.m. at 6th Street and Congress Avenue. One adult male victim was located with a gunshot wound, the peace officer said, before confirming he passed away at the hospital. Initial reports indicate that the victim may have been carrying a rifle and approached the suspect vehicle. Suspect was in the vehicle and shot at the victim. Suspect was detained and is cooperating. So like I said, this kid, I'm going to guess he's early 20s, was interviewed right before he was killed, talking about why he's carrying this weapon and you know, how he wants. I don't remember the exact words he said, so I don't want to misquote him because I feel really bad that this young man is now dead. But, you know, he approached the car, and I think I saw another article that he started shooting at a driver in this car, and the guy just shot and killed him. You know, so you have to be very careful, especially where, you know, open carry states like Texas, when you go up on a vehicle with a gun. I mean, this is insane, actually, you know. Protesters, a guy in his car minding his own business, driving down the street, guy comes up to him with an AK-47. What are you supposed to do? I don't know how this is going to play out. I, being in Texas, the guy that shot the guy is probably going to be okay. But in California, it could be a real problem, you know, you do something like that. So my point is this. These riots, there's more to it than meets the eye. And I want to talk a little bit about, you know, Black Lives Matter and racism. See, I've been in, had a business in Oakland for 24 years. And so my heart has always gone out to that community because of the economic injustice. See, I think racism has been with us from the beginning of time, is going to be with us to the end of time. And it's just a very small percentage of uneducated people. And I think it's found in every race, white, black, brown, yellow. I mean, there's certain people that are taught that other people aren't any good and they never get educated to the facts. And I think that percentage is very, very small. I don't condone racism. I don't believe it should exist in any manner or form. And it's really just uneducated people being taught something and never questioning what they believe. And that's the way it is. But I think the real problem in this country, especially in the African-American communities, not only have I had a business there for 24 years, for 8 years, I've had a nonprofit and working with mostly black women while they battle cancer. So I've seen what it's really like. And it's an economic injustice. That's where the real problem is. And they don't have a fair chance. Let's be honest. You know, and especially now, what's happened, you know, it was different in the 50s and the 60s. Of course, they were fighting for equal rights and which they should have been for sure. But I think when the government gave them all this welfare and trying to do the right thing, I hope perhaps, it's gotten pushed too far. And the other thing is the drugs in that community. You know, my understanding is that all the heroin that was brought into that community, it was brought into the country, but really targeted, in my opinion, to that community, heroin in the 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and then crack cocaine, you know. And who did that? You know, if you really research and you dig deep, you know, the biggest drug dealer in the world is governments and intelligence agencies. You know, there's people that say that we've been in Afghanistan for 18 years to get the opiates. And there's a lot of proof to that. And the crack cocaine, you know, while the DEA was down there looking for Pablo Escobar, the CIA was down there making deals with him and Noriega in Panama. And then according to the movie with Tom Cruise, bringing it up to Mena, Arkansas. You know, George H.W. Bush was involved in that. bring it to Mena, Arkansas, where Clinton was in charge of distributing and laundering the money. And this is pretty common knowledge, ladies and gentlemen. But my point is, I think they targeted the African-American community and because it was easy profits for them. And then the other thing they've done is, you know, let's say in the 60s or 70s, you know, I get found out with a couple joints on me or however they sell it, an ounce, I guess, a bag of pot in the ounce. You know, I get a slap on the wrist or a ticket, but black men were going getting sentenced to jail for 4, 5, 10 years. So that society, that African-American community has been devastated and decimated, but I believe more so by the government and by both sides, left and right, than it has been by guys like you and me that, you know, I love that community, you know, but my heart goes out, especially for those kids. You know, I think it's 75% grow up without a father in the home. I remember, you know, when I was working with black women and they had cancer, golly, I met this one amazing woman. She was 35. She had breast cancer. And so I got to know her as part of the work of our foundation. And she told me that her mother from age 8 to 14 sold her to men for sex so she could buy her crack cocaine. 8 to 14. No wonder she got breast cancer. And unfortunately, she passed away. Her breast cancer wasn't that severe. But after, I won't get into that, but she lost her battle. And I can't tell you how many women that I would meet with that were, you know, in their 50s or 60s and had cancer, but were raising their grandkids because their daughter was hooked on drugs. That, you know, that's the problem we need to fix. We need to create good jobs for that community. We need to help them get straightened out. We need to make we need to release all those men that are in prison for victimless crimes. You know, that I'm for. And give them a hand up with education. Man, it's a gifted community. And it was so many gifts from music and athletics and education and plays and acting. You know, it's a beautiful, beautiful community. But I don't think the problem is racism as much as it is economic injustice. And so that's what we can do to help. All right, speaking of economic injustice, let's move to the economy for a second. We don't have much time left today. But for those of you guys that are following this, gold and silver is finally breaking out. It's been manipulated down for so long, they can't manipulate it down anymore. And I think gold hit its all-time high against the U.S. dollar today. Last time I looked at it, it was $1,953 for 1 ounce of gold. And that's the spot price. So gold eagles, you know, they're probably selling for over $20. Or excuse me, $2,000. And a lot of experts, we had Jim Willie on last week, a couple days, and guys like him and Peter Schiff, you know, they think gold is going to $5,000 an ounce, $10,000 an ounce. But the real one breaking out right now is silver. So just to give you a little background. So if you're a miner and you mine gold and you mine silver, for every ounce of gold you mine, you get about 10 ounces of silver. So they come out of the ground about 10 to 1. Historically, they trade at about 30 to 1. So that means that for 30 ounces of silver, okay, would have the same value of an ounce of gold. Well, lately, it's been over 100 to 1. So I think silver has a huge upside to go. So what I've been doing, and you know, whenever I get a few extra bucks, I've been buying some silver coins, and if I could afford it, some gold coins. So I've been stacking this stuff for probably 8-9 years now, and it's been so frustrating, up and down, up and down. But it's finally starting to go. And I really think if you want to protect yourself, you know, if you haven't, the dollar's collapsing all over the world. And let's talk about that for a second. You know, since 1944, the U.S. dollar's been the global currency. So everybody trades in dollars. So if you're in China and you wanted to buy oil from Saudi Arabia, you would buy dollars from the United States, treasury bills, and we would pay you interest. Then you take those dollars and you would go and buy oil. Well, that's been changing in the last few years. For right now, the Chinese, I believe they can buy oil with Chinese RMB. And then the Saudis can convert that into gold at the Shanghai Gold Exchange. So basically, I think we've been coming off this petrodollar. Used to be, our dollar used to be backed by gold until 1971. And Nixon and Kissinger took it off the gold standard and made this deal with the Saudis. Said, hey, you know, you're surrounded by a bunch of bad people. We'll protect you. But you got to sell oil just for dollars. And one of the issues they had with Saddam Hussein, and you know, I'm told one of the reasons he's dead, is he started selling oil for, I think it was euros. And Gaddafi, our friend in Libya there, he started selling oil for gold dinars. So look what happens. You mess with a dollar, you're going to get messed with. And those two guys are both dead now. So it's always been about protecting this dollar. And now I think the rest of the world, I mean, golly, how much debt have we printed? And just since this little thing started. So anyways, the point of all this, and I had a listener write to me the other day and say, hey, you know, what should I do with the money in my 401k? And so, you know, I don't think you can take that money and buy physical gold and silver. If you can, that's your best bet. But if you can't, then I would suggest buying SLV on the stock exchange or GLD because that's been going up a great deal. Just keep in mind that, you know, you're always better off if you can to take physical possession of this because I'm told that, you know, for a lot of people, let's just say they might sell an ounce of gold or an ounce of silver to more than one person. And so when everybody goes to collect, it's kind of like musical chairs. So if you can take physical delivery, great. But I really think you need to look at gold and silver as a hedge, a protection, especially if this dollar quits being the global currency. So moving on, I want to talk about this. This is an article, I think I found it on Zero Hedge. And the Senate, the Republicans, and the White House proposed slashing the $600 weekly unemployment bonus to $200. So right now, I don't know what unemployment was before COVID-19. Let's say it was $400 a week if you got unemployed. And then they said, okay, we're going to up it another, we're going to add $600 to that when they started the CARES Act. And so people were getting almost $50,000 a year to stay at home and do nothing. And that's why people can't get people to go back. I'm telling you about this friend in Idaho. The state of Idaho, I was told, is now giving people $1,500 to go back to work. So the whole thing is out of sorts. But we have printed so much money. The CARES Act, they gave $2 trillion. And this is what's going to happen now. Let's say you're not getting the $600 anymore. People are going to start hurting financially. You haven't heard a lot of screaming. If you had a business, you were able to get a PPP loan. And so you've been able to ride that along as you've been closed, especially if you're a restaurant or something like that. And people have been able to get this extra money unemployment. So the economy really hasn't felt the impact. But if you go to the usdebtclock.org, I think we're almost up to $27 trillion in stated debt. They just did an audit. Some professor from Michigan and another woman just did an audit. They say there's over $20 trillion missing. And then you have unfunded Social Security, unfunded Medicare, so on and so forth. So we're running out of time. Ray Dalio, who's a kingpin and runs a big hedge fund called Bridgewater, he says there's a trade war coming with China. And I think, you know, there's a lot of speculation that we might be going to war with China. Things are going on in the South China Sea and so on and so forth. And I wanted to hit you with a little hopium here in there. We'll post this link, and this is an article of Mike Rowe. And he basically says, listen, COVID-19 is a flu virus. It's here. People are going to get sick. It's going to spread. Very small percentage of people, I think it's 0.2 or 0.3% of the population is going to die from that. And that's the way it is. And we got to start accepting this, and we got to start accepting the way our life is going to look. But we got to make some big determinations, you know, about this vaccination. We got to research what's going to happen to our money, what's going to happen to our children's education, and what's going to happen to our health. So what I'm working on is, you know, getting as strong as I can physically, getting off of everything, trying to be dependent on nothing physically and mentally, emotionally, and getting myself strong mentally, physically, and emotionally, and preparing for some dark days. I think we're in the first inning of a 9-inning game. Anyways, I hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back live tomorrow, 5 p.m. Pacific. If you like the show, spread the word. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Mike Murphy Unfiltered. And I can't wait to see you again tomorrow, 5 p.m. Pacific. We'll be here live.
You've been listening to Get Real with Mike Murphy. We all need to wake up before it's too late. Learn to question everything. Open your mind. And own your power. For more information on Mike and his work, visit MikeMurphyUnfiltered.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.